Welcome to Tips for the Transition, where we have deep, meaningful conversations about how significant changes can affect us, our families, relationships, and careers, and how we can move through those changes with more ease and grace. I'm your host, Maria Tomas Keegan, Certified Career and Life Coach for Women, and I'm here to help you navigate the messy seasons of life. In the fifth season of the podcast, we'll focus on career transition because in this post-pandemic world, many women are re-examining how they think and feel about their work lives. So we answer big questions like, who am I now? And how do I move on from here? The resources we create with each episode can help women move from panic to powerful and from rocky to resilient. So if you're ready to consider new options, be inspired, and meet incredible women who are on this life journey with us, you're in the right place. This is Tips for the Transition. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Tips for the Transition, the Career Roadmap Podcast. I am so grateful for all of you who watch and listen to these weekly chats. I'm your host, Maria Tomas Keegan, and as a career and life coach for women, my vision is to create resources that help women navigate career and life challenges with more ease and grace, and to know they're not alone. So each weekly inspiring conversation that we have is intended to help women around the world become more confident, resilient, and brave in their careers and indeed in their lives. So if something strikes a chord as you're listening today and you want more information, check out the show notes below for all different kinds of ways for you to connect with my guest and me. So as I work with clients and talk with women in my group career roundtables, many of them are thinking about leaving the corporate world and exploring the world of entrepreneurship. Now, having made that leap myself several years ago, I am keenly aware of some of the pitfalls and time suckers that we can experience when we take that leap. So for those of you who are even just thinking about a career choice like entrepreneurship, listen up, because Laura Valvasori will shed some very important light on this subject. Laura is a marketing foundations strategist, a mentor for entrepreneurs, and the owner of Good to Grow Marketing. I love that name. Through her experience of leaving corporate behind to pursue self-employment, Laura has learned that you need to change and grow as a person when shifting from employee to entrepreneur. Laura's debut best-selling book, Good to Grow, empowers new and seasoned entrepreneurs to cultivate the right mindset and habits to thrive and build a successful business and a life they love. So Laura, hello, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I know a lot of women who are just eager to hear what you have to say today. So let's start by sharing a bit of your background and maybe the thought process you went through as you considered becoming an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. So I spent most of my career as a professional services marketer. I worked for law firms and accounting firms for about 15 years. And as I was progressing in my career, I became a mom during that process and had two kids. And I was starting to get promoted into positions that had bigger teams and more responsibility. And I was starting to realize that I was actually getting disconnected from what I love doing and marketing and really being in the trenches and having an impact. And I was starting to feel a bit of a misalignment with my own values. And as a mom, I was struggling. I live in Oakville, Ontario, and I was commuting by GO train into downtown every day. And with two young kids, that was a lot of challenges that would come up. And I was starting to feel like I was being pulled towards the idea of starting a business. And at the same time, in the role that I was in at the time, I was marketing to private companies. So I was meeting a lot of CEOs and owners of private businesses. And when I told them that I was in marketing, they would share that, oh, we have a marketing person, or we do a bit of marketing. And it became really clear to me that they didn't have a big picture plan as to what they were doing. And they often had somebody doing it in-house off the side of their desk, or someone really junior. And that I started to see an opportunity to start a business to help companies with some of those foundations and the big picture planning and roadmaps. And I was terrified. And the thought of leaving a six-figure job where I was established and really well-respected, it was really difficult to understand how I could make that decision. And I didn't know what was on the other side. I didn't have any friends that were entrepreneurs. All of my friends were in corporate jobs. So I couldn't see what was possible for me. I could only see all the things that I was afraid of not getting any clients, afraid of not liking it, afraid of regretting the decision to leave. And I finally came to a breaking point where I had a conversation with my manager at the time, and I had been frustrated about something that was happening in a meeting, and it was kind of a political driven decision that was being made. And after the meeting, he took me aside and said, I can see that you're frustrated. Let's go have a coffee. And he said to me, do you know what your problem is? And I said, no, like, what do you think? And he said, you care too much. Like, just let it roll off your back and like, let the decision happen and just go home to your kids. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't want to be in a place where I feel like caring is not valued, and that I can't be my authentic self and really be focused on what I'm trying to build. And it was a big wake up moment for me. And it led to some tears and heartfelt discussions with my husband and a business coach I was working with at the time. And I ultimately made the decision to leave without having a fully fleshed out plan as to what was next, but kind of having an idea of what I might be able to do. So that was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And congratulations for building what you built. I'm so glad you said I was terrified.
Oh, terrified.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. It didn't make logical sense to leave a place I was respected and that I was being promoted and all of the things that look good on paper, but there was something inside of me that was feeling misaligned.
Yeah.
And that ultimately won over the fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I know that a lot of the women I talk to have that same fear. And there are multiple fears, right, that are kind of wrapped up with each other. Fear of the unknown, fear of, you know, will I be successful? Mm-hmm. Fear of not knowing what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And you said it, I didn't have role models in this space at the time either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like now we have to find a different set of role models that we never thought we would need, so we never sought out, right?
Absolutely. And I didn't know there was a whole world of organizations and resources and vendors and things that I just wasn't aware of at the time.
Right. We weren't in that world. Mm-hmm. So there was no real reason for us. And, you know, it's not that I didn't know people who owned their own business when I was in corporate. I just never thought to ask them questions about it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. All right. So through that process and getting started, what did you learn you had to be prepared for when shifting from that employee mindset to one that served you better being self-employed?
So the big thing, which is partially what drove me to write this book, is that there's an internal journey that happens that I feel like nobody talks about. There are lots of resources that help you start a business, the nuts and bolts and the how to make a website and all of the pieces. But nobody talks about the shift that happens with you internally and how different you have to think and operate as an entrepreneur. So a few things: you may be used to having somebody direct your work. So someone's telling you what to do. And if you're the type of personality that's really good at taking orders and doing things and delivering to tick the boxes, you're now in a space where you have to direct everything that you are going to do. There's also nobody giving you feedback or validation. So you may be creating things and there's not somebody to go to, or you're not getting validation in the same way, like you're doing a good job from your boss, or you're not validated with a paycheck, or you're not validated with reviews and those types of things. So you have to start being more intrinsically motivated to achieve your goals. The other big thing is there's no more team around you. You are probably used to being good at one thing, or you have your job and it's very focused on what you are delivering. And then there's people with other skill sets in other areas that support you or you collaborate with. It is now all on you. And one of the mistakes that it's easy to make is to stay in the space of just doing the thing that you're good at doing. So say you were an HR, as an example, in corporate, and then you move into your business. You're like, I'm just going to keep focusing on doing the HR piece, delivering the work that I'm good at, but you're not recognizing that you're now a business owner and you have to also be the manager of the business. And you also have to be the visionary for what it is that you're creating. So the role is very different, and recognizing that from the beginning can help set you up for success so that you are spending time in each of those areas or connecting with people that can help you in those different areas.
Yeah, you know, I think you touched on this so well. It can be very isolating.
Very, very.
Yes. When you step into this role as the business owner, and even though you may have a clear vision of what it is you want to create, mm-hmm. as you said, you probably have this set of strengths and talents and gifts that will make you really good at mm-hmm. delivering what you're really good at. But there's so many other things in this business that need to be attended to. And the one thing I learned very early on, which was also terrifying, was to create a team for myself mm-hmm. so that I wasn't isolated. I had people to talk to. Mm-hmm. These people are, I call them my personal board of directors.
Yes.
So they're the people they were my board of advisors, you know, my sounding board, you know, people I could share my vision with and get input from. And in some cases, get some work done that I was not really good at doing.
Yeah, one of the early things I did was I joined a women's networking organization right out of corporate. And I chose that organization specifically because I felt I had an objective going in, which is something I always advise people to think about. I wanted to build my confidence in my own abilities to do this. And I knew that I needed some access to vendors for different things to support me. And I didn't have that network established yet. Right. So I joined that organization with the intention of building my confidence and building my network. And I was with that organization for a period of time. And then I recognized I needed a different level of support. So I joined more of a peer advisory board with a smaller group of women, because that's where I was then at in my business. So as you're building your team and your network, you're going to need different things at different times.
Yeah.
And just being clear about why you're investing time in that organization is important, because it's easy to just join a bunch of things and get scattered and not really have intentionality to what you're doing.
You know, that's so important. Really having an objective, and as those objectives shift and evolve, so do you need to do that. I can remember joining a woman's group as you did. And I made such good friends in that group, as mm-hmm. well as business connections. Mm-hmm. But as I evolved and kind of outgrew the group, mm-hmm. I didn't leave it soon enough.
Right.
Because yeah, I had friends there, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of, it was zapping my time and energy from other things. And I felt, you know, some kind of loyalty to the group. But I, you know, eventually I did leave them, and I realized that I still have those friends.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you need those friendships. You'll develop those friendships to support you along the way. And then there's the people that you need to support you from a business perspective in different ways as you grow at different levels.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about beliefs. I work with my clients about on their beliefs that keep them maybe not stuck where they don't belong. Mm-hmm. Why? I'd love to hear your thoughts about this. Why do you think beliefs are so important?
Oh, they are so. I actually called the chapter in my book "Your Hidden Superpower" because I really believe that beliefs are a superpower.
That's a great
way to put it. And they can be your biggest detriment as well. So, when I say beliefs, just to define what I'm talking about, I mean it is a pattern of thoughts that you continually think, and that forms a belief in yourself. And the beliefs that you hold affect the way that you feel and then affect the way that you take action. So the beliefs that you hold shape the lens through which you see everything in the world and your impression of it and how you operate. So I had this great experience over the holidays that was a great example of highlighting how beliefs can affect different people's experience. So we met with some friends after the holidays and were asking about how their family dinner had gone. And the wife was explaining to me that it was a great dinner, but she wanted to make sure that everyone was really having a good time and how her niece was interacting and how her dad was doing. And she talked a lot about how everybody, she wanted to make sure everyone was having a good time. And her husband looked over and said, I didn't have any impression of any of that throughout the whole dinner. I never even thought of those things. So they both had the same experience at the same dinner, and they both came away with a completely different experience based on their own belief and what they were focusing on. This impacts your business in so many ways. The ways that you're believing in your own abilities at the foundation. So when you come out of the corporate world, it can be difficult to make the transition sometimes if you believe you're a newbie and you don't have experience doing this and you discount all of the experience you are bringing to the table. So yes, you're a new business owner, but you bring a lot of value to the table through your skills and your gifts. But if you're believing that I'm new, I don't know what I'm doing, it's going to be hard, as an example, I'm not saying that it's not going to take a lot of effort. But the belief that if you're believing that it's going to be hard, you're going to bring more experiences up to show you evidence that it's hard, because the mind likes to find evidence for what you're believing. It also impacts your ability to sell. If you don't believe in what you're offering, you have some sort of internal hesitation, even if you're telling people you really believe in the product, but something inside of you is like, oh, it's not quite what I thought, or it's not as good as I thought. That comes through in the energy when you're sharing in any of your sales or your marketing. Beliefs are the foundation and often what holds people back more than skill set. Your mindset around your beliefs is so critical to be aware of, because the more you're aware of what you're believing, the more you'll be able to see how it's impacting whatever it is that you're approaching.
I love that. That is so, so, so true. You just like hit the nail right on the head. Yeah. And you alluded to the fact that some beliefs can hold people back. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yes.
So, you know, they can hold us back from our growth. Mm-hmm. They can hold us back from how we show up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's talk about what are some of the beliefs that can hold us back? I kept thinking imposter syndrome as you were talking.
Yeah, it's imposter syndrome, but I also like to think about how our previous experiences are what has shaped our beliefs.
Yeah.
So it can be very simple things in your business and major things. So I had a client I was working with, and this is such a beautiful, simple example, but how it shows up in every day. So she needed to send an email to a client about an event that they were going to be inviting them to. And she had had a past experience with this client where she had shared something and she'd had a negative response. And I was asking her if she had sent the email yet. And she was saying, well, I'm not sure, the language isn't right. And so I looked at it. It was like three lines. It wasn't a challenging, it was a very simple email. But when we started talking about it more, she shared with me this history with the client and realized that she was holding back from sending it because she was creating a story in her mind because she had this belief that it was going to be negatively received. And when I helped her to see that, she sent the email and got a lovely response, and the client happily accepted the event. But it was like a simple little task that she was putting off and ruminating about and impacted her ability to take action. So that's like a little example. On the bigger side, your beliefs about your pricing, as an example, that's an area that a lot of people are challenged in because they don't believe that they're able to charge the price for the value and what they're delivering. So beliefs around being able to increase your prices, that's something in the bigger way. But you know, the underlying message is that your beliefs can affect everything from your small actions to the big actions that you take.
Yeah, the example of the woman who was ruminating over sending the email. You know, sometimes she said the language wasn't sure the language was quite right.
Right.
Perfectionism can really hold us back from stepping out, leaning in, you know, taking action because it's not perfect.
100%. Perfect. Yes.
You know, I'm a recovering perfectionist from way back. So I experience this a lot, you know, when we're creating things that we want to offer people and we hold back launching them, introducing them to someone because we think that it's not perfect. And what we don't realize is that they don't know what we know. And when we introduce them to, you know, the program, the concept, the product, whatever it is, they think they're getting huge value and we don't see it.
Yes.
Their perspective.
Absolutely. So there's perfectionism, and the other side of the coin is not having the whole plan mapped out. And this is something that I have learned, and it's a dance between working with your intellect and your intuition to guide you to creating what it is you're going to create. So when I left, I did not have the perfect plan laid out of all of the things I was going to do to start my business, but I made a decision. And I think there is a lot of power in making a decision, and that the universe starts to conspire in strange ways, and you start to get ideas and meet people, and you start to be guided a bit down a path, and things become clearer when you start taking action.
Right.
So you don't necessarily have to have this fully mapped out business plan. You have to have some ideas, you have to have some trust, and you have to start taking steps, and more steps will reveal themselves along the way.
Yeah. Having faith.
Yes.
Right. Having faith in ourselves, believing in ourselves, that we know what we're doing, that our experience is valuable to others, and they don't know what we know.
Yes.
So we have something to offer, and we'll get better over time. So having faith in getting started, and then allowing the universe to conspire so that we meet the right people, the right opportunities are presented to us, and we get to take action on those. I love that. It's a process.
It is.
It is a process. And we have to have faith and believe in the process and that it will unfold. It's never done. Absolutely. We are never done.
Absolutely.
If we get done, we die.
Yes.
I, for one, never intend to be done.
No. And as you grow in your business, you get more knowledge, you get more experience, and then you have different things to share. So I'm 10 years into my business now, and I'm looking at providing more mentorship for other entrepreneurs based on the book. Like, I never would have thought I was going to write a book when I started my business and share my experiences. And I never would have thought many of the things I could not have planned, many of the things that have happened in my business. And I'm very grateful that I didn't try to plan them, because it would have been off. I don't know. It is more fun to have some loose ideas and have some plans and be open to what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I so agree with you. You and I have been in our respective businesses about the same period of time. And if somebody had told me back then what I would be doing now, that I'd be doing this, for instance, International Podcast, I would have said, you're crazy. I would never do anything like that.
Absolutely.
But it is one of the joys of my life. So
grow and you evolve as a person, and you have different confidence and different interests, and that gets reflected in your business.
Yeah. So let's talk about, I know you talk about self-image a lot. Mm-hmm. So explain why having a good self-image is crucial and how it impacts someone's success as an entrepreneur, or indeed even as a woman in business.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about self-image, there is the outer image of what other people see when they look at you, how they observe you, how they experience you, what they think of you. And then there's the inner experience. So your self-image, and that is the way that you think about yourself on the inside, that inside voice about who you think you are, or almost more importantly, who you think you are not. So your self-image impacts your ability to show up and how you show up and the actions that you're going to take. So you may be thinking that people may see you as confident on the outside. They may say, oh, here, she's a great presenter, as an example. But inside, you think that you're a terrible presenter and you don't want to take any actions to pursue speaking opportunities because of your own belief inside. So someone on the outside can tell you all they want that they think you're a great presenter. But if you don't have that belief on the inside, if you don't have the self-image of yourself as being a good presenter, it is more difficult for you to take steps and do the things you need to do. So an interesting way to capture what you're thinking on the inside is catching yourself when you're saying things to yourself like, I'm just not the kind of person that, or she might be able to do that, but that's not me. And it starts to reveal how you're really thinking about yourself inside. And the good news is that you can intentionally shape the image of who you want to become. So you can create the image of a successful business owner, of the person that you want to, I say become, but it's actually more who you want to uncover, because all of these things already exist inside of you. If you're seeing it in someone else and you're admiring or respecting it, it's already inside of you. So your self-image, in the development of your self-image, is about bringing out some of those qualities. So there's some exercises in the book that take you through the process of how to develop a self-image script we talk about. And it is really articulating who it is that you're becoming, and then using that script through repetition to program your subconscious mind and to have you start acting in the way that that person shows up.
You know, that's such a powerful concept. I work with my clients in a very similar way. I think the foundation for it is understanding what you value most.
Yes.
What do you really, really care about? And then who do you want to become? And then journaling about it, write about it.
Yes.
Right? Just put it down on paper. Get it out of your head. Get it down on paper so that it doesn't continue to, the stories don't continue to loop in your head that are not what you want to build as your own self-image. You know, how do you want, who do you want to become?
Journaling is so powerful. It is a tool that I have embraced in the last maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
I used to think that I was journaling, but I realized I was writing Dear Diary entries. And when I was finally taught how to journal, it has become one of my go-to tools in everything I do. So I write every day in some form, and I use it as a tool to answer questions. And it's fascinating when you start getting into the practice of it, of writing a question out and then just allowing yourself to freeform write, and things come out sometimes that you would have never even thought of, that were, you didn't know were in there. And having pen to paper is a great way to get things out of your mind.
Yeah. And out of your heart, in fact, right? Yeah. So I'm just so curious, what are some of the most powerful questions that you have journaled about?
Ooh, that's a good question. A question I like to ask often is, what am I not seeing about this situation?
That's so good. What am I not seeing?
So when you're trying to find a solution, you're often focused out right on the solution. So what am I not seeing? Mm-hmm. Or I'm just trying to think of one. That one's a go-to. Mm-hmm. The other is, what is a different perspective I could take on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because situations always have multiple perspectives, and in our heads, we're usually stuck in one track.
Yeah.
And if I shift it and think about it from another's perspective, that can help shift it. And the last is, how could I accomplish this or do this with more ease?
With more ease. I love that.
With more ease. I tend to overcomplicate things sometimes. So I question myself often, how could this feel more easy, fun, joyful, rather than trying to find an answer? Like, it has a very gripping energy to it. Yeah. And so those are a few.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great. Thanks so much for sharing those. The second one you asked is, how can I look at this differently? How can I find a different perspective? Reminds me of a call I had just last night with a client. And she was struggling with a situation at work. And I described it to her as though she was pushing this enormous boulder and it wasn't budging. And I said to her, stop pushing and walk around it. It just changes. You get a different perspective about the boulder. And I said, what do you see? And she said, I'm on the other side and I see I see my leadership team putting wedges under the boulder on the other side of it. So they're not letting me push the boulder. Now she had more clarity about why the boulder was so hard to push. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Such great questions. Thank you for sharing those. This has been such a great conversation with you. And it goes well beyond someone who might be considering becoming an entrepreneur. The conversation about mindset and how we see ourselves and what we believe about ourselves is so important for anyone who is not completely happy with where they are right now or the situation they're in. Mm-hmm. Examining these things can be so beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So, as we always do at the end of an episode, I ask my guests to share some key takeaways, some practical strategies that people could maybe implement right away. So I'd love for you to share yours. What's your first one, Laura?
So my first one is to use the power of visualization. So much like we talked about journaling, visualization can become a really powerful tool to engage your imagination and connect to your emotions. So if you're in a corporate job still and you're thinking of making a shift into entrepreneurship, or you're in your corporate job and thinking about the next level or the growth that you're focused on, usually using visualization and closing your eyes at the start of every day and allowing your imagination to go and focusing on what it is you're creating, the business that you're going to be creating, and bring to mind the one person that you might be able to help with what you're offering. In doing that, you can connect to the emotions and think about how you're going to feel when you've helped that person, how it's going to feel for them to have received your guidance, really connecting to the pictures and images of what the future looks like for you and the emotions that are connected to it. And in the show notes, we're going to include a link to a guided visualization that was created by Catherine Farquharson, who's the mindset coach that I've worked with for years. And it was created as a companion for the Good to Grow book. And it's a really fun visualization that's on Insight Timer. And it is meeting yourself. So it is meeting your future self at a dinner party. And it's a great one to open up your imagination and connect back to that conversation about self-image of who it is that you're becoming and the emotions connected to it. So number one would be the visualization.
I love that. I love that. I was guided about a year ago to visualize, like you're suggesting, for 15 minutes every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy I got that guidance, because yeah, it has really made such a big difference in how I approach every day in a much more positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And things, when things happen, as they often do, right? They don't go the way we mm-hmm. plan. Some things just kind of blow up. I have a better, I'm grounded better.
Yes.
And more able to address those kinds of situations without allowing them to blow me up.
Right.
So it's a wonderful centering and grounding activity to do. And I think it just makes us feel so much stronger.
Absolutely. It feels really good.
Yeah.
And I also feel like it creates fuel for you to take action. I was just in a Facebook group and someone asked this question about saying that they were really good at setting goals and that they found that they fizzled out as they started to take action, and any mm-hmm. advice on how to continue to take action. And one of my answers was around visualization. If you're starting your day thinking about what you're creating and getting connected to the emotions and the energy of that, it just start your day feeling kind of fired up about it. So then when you're going forward in your day and you have to take that action that you don't maybe want to do, you're like, right, that feeling. And it helps fuel your action.
Yeah. And another way might be to just break those actions down into smaller steps.
Yes. Yes.
So that you're taking, you've got smaller check boxes to check off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And you can make more progress that way too. But visualizing it is so important. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your second one?
My second is to become very clear about the type of business you're creating and what lights you up, and to make sure that those two things are aligned. So when you're starting out, it's easy to look to other people for advice on how to create a business or different business models, but it's important to understand how you like to engage and where you bring the most value. So, for example, I've learned about myself through my business that I love the creation stage of a business. I love the brainstorming. I'm really good at mapping out a plan and breaking down the actions. And I fizzle out in the long term if it's about implementing the day-to-day pieces. It's not my strength. It's not my interest. It doesn't light me up. So I have refined my business offerings to really focus on offers that keep me in that space and then partnering with people that can deliver on the other pieces. And it's really easy to get talked into a model because you've seen how someone else is doing it, but it's becoming clear about how you work best, what gives you energy, and how you're going to deliver the best value is really important.
I so love that you just said it's easy for us to fall into a trap watching how other people are doing it, mm-hmm. try to model ourselves after them, and we often too late in the process or really late in the process realize that that doesn't feel like it works for me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Understanding what does work for you and getting advice from, you know, your personal board of directors whom you have mm-hmm. assembled to brainstorm that out and feel it, right? Feel mm-hmm. what feels like it's going to work for you instead of just following somebody else's lead.
Yeah. A good exercise is to go back through different situations in your life where you feel like you loved working at that job or on that project or on that volunteer opportunity or in any different area of your life, and try to get clear about what it was in those situations that you were really good at contributing and what you really loved about it. So you may conclude that you really love collaborating with people. So there, through all those situations, and you'll start to see a thread, you're like, wait a second, the thing I loved is that there was all kinds of people contributing to that. And that's what made me enjoy the situation. So then how do you bring that into your business? Or I love project-based work, I've learned. So how do I create opportunities for kind of project-based things that give me the opportunity to do lots of different things? Or you might decide, I just love delivering the same thing over and over. I love having the kind of consistency, and then it's a different business again. But doing that inventory and going back through your experiences can help you identify.
Yeah, that's such good advice. Yeah. Our experiences teach us a lot mm-hmm. about all the things we know how to do. I have a self-assessment in my program for my clients. Think about all the things you know how to do and break those down into the hard and soft skills. And then of those, what do you love to do? Mm-hmm. And what do you not want to do anymore? That's equally mm-hmm. important.
100%.
Yeah, that's so good. Do you have a third one for us?
I do. We touched on it earlier about finding a community of like-minded people from the beginning. I think that some people go to friends and family to try to support them in this transition. And the reality is that as much as your friends and family love you and they want to support you, if they haven't been through the experience, it's going to be difficult for them to support you in a way that helps you grow and challenge you when you need to be challenged and connect you to the people that you need to be connected to. So early on, finding some form of community of other people so that you do not feel like you are in a vacuum trying to do this yourself, and you have people that can identify with what you're going through, I think is a number one thing that you should be thinking about as well.
You're so right about that. Finding that that support network who whom you trust. They'll tell you the truth. They'll call you on your stuff, mm-hmm. and they'll help brainstorm with you and guide you. And they are often not the people closest to us because they've not done what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. That is such good advice. Oh, Laura, we could chat about this a lot. I say that to a lot of my guests.
I could talk for a long time about these subjects. Yes.
Yeah, I could too. I think we have shared some really good information today, and I want to thank you so much for being transparent about your own journey and sharing what you've learned has worked well for you. And again, I think this applies to people who are thinking about leaving corporate into an entrepreneurial venture, or who are thinking about what they're doing in corporate right now and whether that lights them up and is there something else you'd like to do. All of these things we've talked about today will benefit you to just dig into some of these exercises that Laura has shared with us today. Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you. I'm so glad you think so. I know that people are going to want to reach out to you. So what is the one best way for them to do that?
So you can go to my website at www.goodtogrowmarketing.ca or .com. And I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'd love to connect on LinkedIn. And yeah, it would be great.
That's fabulous. Thank you again for being here today.
Thank you.
And for those of you who are watching or listening, I want you to know how much I appreciate that you're a part of this community. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a comment. If there's a star rating wherever you are, let us know what you think about it. And as I said at the top of the show, I love creating and sharing resources for women. And as a career and life coach, I guide women through challenging times so they gain clarity, confidence, and courage to step into their next chapter. So if something in this episode resonates with you and you'd like to get a fresh perspective on it, reach out. Let's have a conversation. You can find all the links, we've said this before, in the show notes. Laura has a gift for you, that visualization exercise, which is so powerful. So check out the notes below and click on one of those links. And I invite you to continue this conversation in my private Facebook group called the Career Transition Roadmap. And the link for that is below as well. So let's meet again right here next Wednesday for another inspiring conversation, because I believe it's our time to thrive. So let's thrive together. Till next time, I'm Maria Tomas Keegan, helping you turn transition into triumph.